So today I'd like to start out and go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Esteem is an interesting topic. We hear a lot about that in this day and age in terms of, you know, schooling, teaching children that they need to esteem themselves and so forth. So it raises the question, well, what exactly is esteem? And what are the things that we're supposed to esteem as those who are being called by God? And do we want to follow the ideas that this society has about what esteem is and what should be esteemed? So today what I want to do is take a look here in the Bible and see what it tells us about esteem. So the first question, of course, is what is esteem? Well, we've got a couple different ways that we use it here. Frequently, we'd use it as a noun. I have esteem for someone. And we frequently use that in terms of something that we have high regard for, something that we honor. So you may ask the question, well, is esteem the same as honor and respect? Well, they're related, but they're not quite the same. The Online Etymology Dictionary, in talking about esteem, said that the word itself, and now we're talking about the verb, what does it mean to esteem? The word itself comes to us from Latin, from a word that means to value, to appraise. And it has the same root as our word estimate. What we see here is that as we get away from the noun esteem and we start talking about the verb to esteem, that it goes beyond honor, it goes beyond respect, and really the very basis of it is to judge. To look at something based on some form of standard, to judge that item, and to place some value on it. That's what it means to esteem. So as we look at the word to esteem in terms of can we see biblical applications here where it talks about that as an act of judgment, let's take a look at a few examples here. Let's turn over to Romans 14 and verse 5. So our first verse here showing how to esteem means to judge something, we see here in Romans 14:5. And we see what Paul has written here. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, as we look at Romans 14, we see that it's all in the context of choosing to do things or to not do things. But it's all still in the context of doing things and not doing things within the guidelines of keeping God's laws. Contrary to a lot of commentaries you might see on this chapter who say, well, this means we can do anything we want. And we shouldn't judge people on whether they want to eat pork or something like that or whatever. But that's not what Paul's saying here. He says, stay within God's guidelines, but don't judge each other on what you choose to do or not to do. Because each person will look at a situation. And another example he uses later is whether someone eats meat or someone who chooses only to be a vegetarian. What those people have done who've made those choices is that they've looked at that choice and they've made a judgment. Is this within God's law? Is this something I want to do? They've placed a certain value on that action and have chosen to take that action or not. So we see here that to esteem is to make a judgment. While we're here in chapter 14, let's go down and take a look at verse 14. I'll read it first in the New King James Version, Romans 14, verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. As we look at the King James translation of this, where the New King James says, to him that considers, in the King James Version, they translate it as, to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean. Now, this is a different word than what Paul used in verse 5. And so what we can come to a conclusion here as we look at this word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek or anything, it's a word that gives us the connotation of to reckon, to think out, to seriously consider something. And if we're going to place a judgment, don't we need to do that? Don't we need to take a serious consideration of something before we pass judgment on it so that we can truly assess the value of it against the standard against which we're trying to compare it? So we see this here in this verse, that to esteem also means to reckon, to seriously consider, to count something as some value. And we can also see this concept of the consideration, the reckoning, present in an example from the Old Testament. If we take a look back at Job chapter 41 and verse 27. Job 41 and verse 27. I'll go ahead and read that to you from the King James Version, because again, the New King James has a different translation of the word. But from the King James Version, Job 41, verse 27, he esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. Now, obviously here, he's not saying that, well, yeah, iron is straw and brass is rotten wood. It's obvious that there is a difference in those things. But in the context of this, to esteem iron as straw means that, well, in the context of what I'm doing here, what I'm judging here, iron is no different than straw because both of them are worthless to me in this situation. And brass is as rotten wood. It might as well be rotten wood because it has no use for my purposes here. It has no value. And again, that's what we see here in the context of the word to esteem. Judging to place value. Now, this word that is used here in Job 41, verse 27, is also used in a couple of verses that we read every year that we take a look at, and especially in the springtime. And those verses are in Isaiah 53 and verses 3 and 4. So let's take a look at Isaiah 53 and verses 3 and 4 and see how the word esteem is used there. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Think about what this says. Humanity does not know how to judge what God is doing for us. As a whole, humanity does not realize the value of what Jesus Christ went through. The pain and the suffering, his crucifixion. Also that we could be forgiven. If it weren't for God opening our minds, we too would not know how to judge what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we would esteem him stricken. Oh, look, he's just another one of those crazy religious people from old times who ended up getting put to death. We would disdain him. We would consider him afflicted and beneath us. We would esteem him poorly. But we have been blessed that God has opened our mind to see the difference, to see the value of what God is doing for us and what he is offering for us. So we see that to esteem is to determine the value for us by judging something against a standard. As we see here in Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4, as a rule, mankind just does not regard the things of God as being a valuable part of our lives. We've seen that time and again in the history of humanity. Jesus himself pointed this out very clearly in Luke chapter 16, and we'll look at verses 14 and 15. Again, we see here some of the conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus, because he pointed out things, that attitudes that they had, things that they were doing, which were not in line with God's ways. So here we see in Luke 16, verses 14 and 15. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So again, even though these were religious leaders of the time, the things that they esteemed, the things that they found value in and had high regard for, were not the same things that God valued, that God has regard for. And Jesus is telling them, it's a fact of life. The things that are highly esteemed among men are abominations in the sight of God. And take a look at that. We don't even have to look at the example of the Pharisees. Look around us. Look at our own society. Look what people in this country, in this world, esteem. What they value, what they have in high regard. Movie stars, sports players, even politicians. You see that all the time. Someone looks up to these people. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't do that at all, because if we see good qualities, qualities we know that even in spite of these people are qualities that come from God, we respect that. But more often than not, as a society, we tend to respect people who are in these positions. They're highly visible. They're right out there in front. And we give them esteem. We hold them in high regard. But look at what they do. Look at what they say. Look at what they believe. Are these things that God esteems? More often than not, when you look at what these people are proponents of, or their actions, or what they're doing, these are things which are abominations to God. And should we be looking up to that? Should we esteem these people for that? No. We're learning a different standard. God has opened our eyes so that we can see that. But again, is this something new with our generation? No, it isn't, is it? Let's take a look at the example of ancient Israel. And if you look at their situation, if there is anybody who should have esteemed God, who should have recognized the value of God in their lives, should it not have been the Israelites? They owed him their freedom, their prosperity, their very lives. And yet, in the end, what did they do? Let's take a look at that back in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 15. We see what is said here about what the Israelites would do in Deuteronomy 32, 15. "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese." I mean, think about it. What is this indicative of? the prosperity that God gave them, the good life that God gave them, caused a change. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. The Hebrew word here, scornfully esteemed, and likewise, if you look at the Greek Septuagint translation, the Greek word that's used there gives us the concept, the idea that not only did they scornfully esteem, but more so, they fell away from God, or even worse, they purposefully moved away from God. They scornfully esteemed him. In other words, they thought to themselves, whether actually, I'm going to think of this, or just by their actions, they saw no more value of God in their lives. And because they didn't value God, why would they stay with him? Let's just move away. Because he's not valuable to our lives anymore. They didn't esteem him. They scornfully esteemed him. But again, was this something that was new with the Israelites? No, it wasn't. It goes all the way back to humanity. And as an example of that, let's look at one of the things that Jesus told his disciples on the night he was betrayed. In John chapter 15. John 15 and verses 18 and 19. What did Jesus tell his disciples here as he's getting them prepared for what they were going to be facing? Here in John 15, verses 18 and 19, he said the following: "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." It's an interesting statement when he says, it hated me before it hated you. The one who became the Jesus Christ, the Word of God, was the one who walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did they esteem him? Did they value what he offered them? Or did they turn away? And by refusing to follow God's instructions, demonstrated that they hated him. It goes back that far. Humanity, as a general rule, does not recognize the value of what God offers to us. And this is the history, this is the nature that each one of us has to fight against. Because we are being taught to move away from that attitude, to move away from that way of thinking, so that we learn how to esteem what God provides, what God offers to us. And so we have to struggle against that, against the entire history of humanity that works against God. We now have to go the other way, to turn and come back to God. So, with that in mind, what do we value? What do we hold in high esteem? Well, the Bible certainly gives us some clear instructions on that. Turn back to Job, chapter 23, and verses 11 and 12. One of the first things we see that we need to esteem, that we need to hold in high regard and value as a part of our lives, are God's commands. And as we live by his ways, as we learn to apply his commandments in our lives, the more we do that, the more we recognize, yeah, these really are valuable. They really are something that I want in my lives. Job 23, verses 11 and 12. "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Again, the New King James Version here translates this as treasured, but in the King James Version, is I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What's interesting is as we look at other ways in which this word has been translated, a lot of times you see it translated as some form of the verb to hide or hidden or something in secret. And it's not like we're trying to keep everybody from seeing that, oh yeah, we're keeping God's ways. We don't want anybody else to know that. No, it's more to the point that as we learn to recognize the value of what God's laws do for us, we hold them close. We hold them tightly. We value them so much that we do not want to take a chance that someone could come and take it away from us. We treasure them. We esteem them. We value them because we want them in our lives, because we know that it's only through God's commandments that we will actually have life. Now, a lot of people in this world claim that they value God's commandments. And to some degree, yes, they do. But at the same time that they say, well, yeah, I live by God's ways, they turn around and reject a lot of his commandments. The easiest one to point to is keeping the Sabbath. But that's not what we're learning. We're learning to value all of God's commandments. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. And we'll read verses 124 to 128. See, when it comes to esteeming God's commandments, we don't get to pick and choose. Because remember, as I said earlier, to esteem is to judge based on some standard. And if we start picking and choosing which commandments of God's that we value, whose standard are we using? Are we using God's standard? Well, I have some of his commands that I follow. Yeah, I'm following his standard. No, we're not. If we're going to follow God's standards, we need to follow his standards all the way. And we see this here in Psalm 119 and verses 124 to 28. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and I hate every false way. Again, in verse 128, where it says, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, King James reads, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. To consider, to think about. Following God's commandments it's not something that we just do blindly. Oh, I have to do this, so that's what I'm going to do. We think about it. Because to esteem something, that's what you have to do. You have to think about it. You have to give it proper consideration, to judge it, to understand it, to know beyond any doubt that it is something of value. And that is what we're learning with God's laws. Beyond a doubt, that it is something of great value for our lives. So we too, as we work with God, as we follow his Spirit, we strive to value God's ways and to keep them. Not just here, not just there, but in all facets, all aspects of our life. We value God's laws in everything and in all things. And that's how we learn to use his standard to judge things. So the Bible clearly tells us we need to esteem God's commandments. Likewise, it tells us that we need to esteem what God esteems. Now, how do we get to that point? How do we know what God esteems so that we can start esteeming that too? Well, it's a process for one thing, and the process has to start with the realization that when we are first called, we do not think like God thinks. We do not view things the way he does. Take a look at Isaiah 55. Verses 7 through 9. We need to start with this understanding. Isaiah 55, verses 7 to 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's interesting here too, as we look in verse 7, it says, let him return to the Lord. Remember we talked about the ancient Israelites when it said they scornfully esteemed God. They turned away from him. They walked away from him. Isaiah is saying, you need to realize that you don't think like God does. And if you want to learn the way to life, you need to turn and come back and realize that we don't see things in the same manner. We don't have the same perspective. What is really mind-boggling here is that God has chosen each one of us to work with us, to say to us, yeah, we don't think alike, but I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you learn how to view things from a godly perspective so that you know what to esteem. So that's where we start. And as we recognize that, then we start to see that there's nothing in this world, or nothing that this world has to offer us, that can exceed the value of what God is offering to us. How can you beat eternal life in the family of God? You can't. So you look around and you realize, oh, you know, some of those things I used to value, they've kind of lost that luster, haven't they? Because there is no comparison. And as we get to that point, we start to realize that we have choices to make. Do I choose what I used to do, or do I choose what God has offered for us? Moses got to this point. Let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now Moses had it going for him, right? I mean, good family, all the best circles in society, great job. Good future. Most of us aren't in that position. And certainly most of us never have to worry about someone wondering whether they're going to build a pyramid for us after we die. But Moses realized, even at that point, this isn't all there is. And he was willing to accept, to esteem, the reproach of Christ. Not just what the rewards, but even the reproach, the teaching, the ability to learn God's ways, as painful as might be sometimes, we need to esteem that more highly than what we can get in the world around us. Because that too has great value for us. And Moses came to the realization. And he gave up all that he had, all that was going for him, for the reproach of Christ, to be taught by God, to learn God's ways, and to see and look forward to God's promise. Again, most of us have never been in quite that position where we have to make that kind of choice. But it does raise an interesting question for us, doesn't it? Do we esteem the things of God higher than anything else? Because there will be times in our lives where we will have to make a choice. Some of you have already had to do it. I can get this job, but I have to work on the Sabbath. No. Sabbath is God's commandments. I esteem that higher than this job. You've had to make that choice, and it's a tough choice to make. We ask ourselves the question, is there anything in this world, anything in our lives that we have right now, that we are unwilling to give up for the sake of choosing God's ways? Most of us don't have to face that question yet. But it's something we need to prepare for. And we prepare for it by learning to esteem God's commandments, by learning to esteem what He esteems, to take that longer view, to look ahead, and realizing that the things of this world that we liked are the old way of thinking. And we need to move to the new way of thinking, God's way, and get to that point. Paul himself, I mean, look at the example he gave. He was an up-and-coming Pharisee. He had the best of trainings. He was zealous for what he was doing. And yet, what was his attitude after Jesus Christ called him? What did he do? How did he consider all his previous situation? We see that here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 10. Paul had a change of thinking. He discarded his ways and began to take on God's ways. Discarded his thoughts and learned to think as God did. Here in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 10, Paul writes, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Look at what Paul is saying here. He was very zealous. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew his material. He was proud of the knowledge and the training that he had, and the things that he was doing, especially the things he was doing to persecute the church. But for as much as those things gained him a position in that society at the time, when Jesus Christ opened his mind and started to teach him from God's perspective, look at the change in Paul's perspective. It wasn't only, well, okay, I had these things, I had this position stuff, but I don't anymore. No, it was their loss, but guess what? No big deal. They were rubbish anyway. They were things that I was striving for which had no lasting value. Paul learned to esteem, to value the things of God higher than anything which he could have had in this society. We too need to get to that point, don't we? Day to day, as we struggle with the various trials that we have, we live by God's ways. We go to Him. We learn from Him. And as we do that, as He gives us that opportunity and teaches us these things, we learn that, these aren't the things I need to esteem. What I need to esteem is what I can see way off in the future, whenever that is. It's the promise and the hope of eternal life which God is offering to us now. We have that opportunity to learn to value that above all else. Just as Paul did, we too can look ahead to eternal life in God's kingdom and His family. Because that, and that alone, is where we will find true value, isn't it? So we esteem God's commandments. We esteem the things God esteems. And we also are told to esteem each other. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's a large movement within our society that we need to make sure that our children esteem themselves, that they feel positive about themselves and they value themselves. And that's not necessarily all wrong. We need to learn, we need our children to learn to judge what is right, what is wrong. And likewise, for ourselves, when we see something good in our lives, we esteem that. Why? Because it's we're doing it? No. Because what is good comes from God. And that's what we are to esteem. But instead of this huge focus on the self, instead of looking inward, the Bible tells us that we need to esteem others. Let's take a look here again in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. Paul writes here in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, Paul's saying here, don't look out for your interests at all. He does say you need to look out for your interests. But don't set that up on some pedestal. Say, well, that's all I need to focus on, are my own interests, because, you know, it's dog-eat-dog world out here and the rats are winning the race, so I need to do whatever I can. We focus on our interests, but not above the interests of others. God has called each and every one of us to be members of His family. And as family members, as brothers and sisters, we want to get to know each other. We want our relationships to build, to grow, and we look out for each other. As members of the family of God, following God's Spirit, joined together by His Spirit, there is nothing else anywhere in the world where you will find that. It's only in God's family. And even our human nature tells us that when something is extremely rare, it is extremely valuable. And so we don't want to take it casually. We don't want to just look at it like if we all attend the same church. No. We esteem each other. We value each other because we are all trying to follow God's ways, to grow and become members of His family, to look forward to that time. We esteem each other. We look out for each other. We help each other because we're in a unique family, which you find nowhere else. And in addition to esteeming each other, God also expects us to esteem those whom he has placed in positions of leadership. Let's take a look at that in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13. Paul writes here, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." You know, it's quite a responsibility to be called by God to serve God by serving his people. It's hard work. It's a formidable responsibility. And so we need to value the effort of those who are in positions of leadership, who have been given that responsibility. So as we esteem each other, let's also remember that we need to esteem those who labor among us. Because what's the end result going to be? If we esteem each other, if we esteem our leaders, if we hold them in high regard, if we value what they're doing for us, the end result is that there's going to be peace among us. Usually if you value something, you don't want to drive it away or run away from it. You're drawing close. And Paul is here saying, be at peace among yourselves, right in the heels of esteeming our leadership. So that is one of the things that God tells us to esteem. So what have we seen today when it comes to esteem? To esteem something is to give it due consideration and to assign a value to it based on some standard scale of measurement. And it's kind of a dry technical definition of it, but that's what it means to esteem something. And of course, the standard by which we value things, those things that we find in our lives, is the standard that God sets for us, not our own. And the Bible clearly shows us that we are to esteem, to value God's commands, those things which he esteems, and certainly each other. So, as we go out again, let us continue to learn to see things as God does and to grow in his grace and knowledge as we look forward to the kingdom of God.